I was thinking about this matter of peace and the hope that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we sing that song, it's really a check on us. Is it well with your soul? Is it? I pray it is. I'm just excited about all that's going on here. And listen, it's good sometimes. I know that crackling that just happened, we're like, wow, an interruption in the service. Sometimes it's good for us to be interrupted a little bit, get out of the mold, so to speak, and the Lord keeps us paying attention, and I'm so glad for that. As you take your Bibles and turn to Jonah chapter number 1, I pray it is well with your soul tonight. We're going to look at one tonight in the book of Jonah, Jonah himself, who is in a place where he's turning back to God. There's really a turning place here in the book of Jonah in chapter 1. Before he's swallowed by the fish, he starts to give some indication that his heart is turning back to the Lord. And really, when you think about the book of Jonah, though it deals with God's dealing with the Gentiles people, we understand also that the book of Jonah shows us a pathway back from being disobedient to the Lord. Jonah is a prime example of one who turns back to the Lord. It is used of the Lord in a mighty way. And so at the end of the last lesson, it's been several weeks, we left off to understand that Jonah, by his own admission and by God's revealing, was implicated in the cause of the great tempest. God caused this tempest on Jonah's behalf. The truth is revealed is this, and I want you to remember this. Sin always reveals itself in the life of men. You might do your best to cover things up, put on the right face, put on the right dress, say all the right things, but sin has a way of revealing itself in the lives of men. And we see this in the life of Jonah. Sometimes sin is immediately revealed in the life of the person. But ultimately, sin always comes to light. Jonah is no different. Now, we think of Jonah, he's a prophet of God. We think of him and maybe set him on a pedestal being God's man. But understand that Jonah is just a man, just like you and I, and he's accountable to God. Do you know that the preacher is accountable to God? The pastor is accountable to God. The deacon is accountable to God. The Sunday school teacher is accountable to God. We can go on down the list. Every one of us are accountable to God, regardless of our station in life, regardless of what positions or titles we may hold, we're all accountable to the Lord. And as we continue in the study here, I want you to see in the book of Jonah, we'll see this, his advisement. Jonah's going to advise the crew to do something, and they're going to try and do the opposite, but I want you to see it here. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We'll begin in verse number 11 with the advisement, and then we'll read down for a few verses and then pray. The Bible says, "Then they said they unto him," the him is Jonah, "what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, here's his advisement, "Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Notice the reaction of the men, though. It says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." Verse 14, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord," notice what they say, "thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee." So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray we would see some things here, see the advice, see the nevertheless, see the wherefores, see the so's, and then the thens. Father, would you help us to have some understanding tonight? Lord, help us not to be found to be fighting against God. Lord, help us also make note of this pathway back to restoration seen in the life of Jonah. So, Father, I pray you'd help us this night. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated. The heading here is the cause of the evil is found in verses 8 through 12. The cause of the evil and is found to be Jonah. The accusations start in verse number 8. The answers are given in verse number 9 from Jonah himself as to who he is and where he's from and what his station in life is. And this leads to the alarm in the hearts of the mariners and the shipmasters. And now we come to the advice in verse number 12. Remember verse 11, the men are trying to figure out, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? They realize that for this cause, for the cause of Jonah, this has come upon them. And they're saying, what are we to do? What shall we do at this point? And I'd like to just pause here for a second. And sometimes it is that we get in that way, don't we? In the storms of life, we say, what do we need to do to make right, to get this solved, to get this figured out? What do we need to do? And perhaps it is in a time of difficulty, in a time of derision, in a time of departing here, we need to ask the question ourselves, what do we need to do? Maybe it is that the Lord is trying to get our attention. Perhaps it is that the Lord is trying to change our course and direct us a different way. They're asking, if this is because of you, because God is chastening you, what should we do to avert disaster? And can I tell you that I believe this is every Christian that's here wants to make sure that other Christians aren't headed in the way of disaster. I have no doubt as I look out at you and you're looking at me, I know you, and you would like to see others avert disaster. You don't want to see them shipwreck. And can I say to you, I don't want to see you shipwreck either. And I pray you pray for me that Pastor James would not be shipwrecked either. There's a real danger in all of our lives of heading down the wrong path and getting in a way where we're headed right for disaster. And Jonah replies with his advice. Notice it with me. Verse number 12, the Bible says, and he said unto them, take me up. Cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now much has been said in the way of this declaration of Jonah. What in the world was he thinking when he said this? Some have said that Jonah must have known that God had prepared a fish. Some have said that Jonah determined to take his own life by being cast into the sea because of this incident. And I want to tell you this. You say, well, Pastor James, well, what do you say? I say the Bible doesn't say. That's what I say. I say you and I can know a lot of things, but we may not know exactly what's going through Jonah's mind at this very instant, but we can see this. This is a beginning point of Jonah's path to submitting to God. This is a starting point of Jonah's heart turning back to God. It's a wonderful thing when a Christian who's gotten off the path turns around and begins to turn back to God. It's not an easy thing. It's not a painless thing, but it's a wonderful thing when a Christian begins to turn around and turn back to God. When God works in the hearts of men through life, through circumstances and people, there is a turning to him, and that's a wonderful thing. It is the advice of Jonah that we see this turning of Jonah to do this, to accept the punishment for his disobedience. He realizes that this is because of him, and he's willing to pay the price for his disobedience. Jonah really is a specimen of true repentance, one which leads the repentant one to accept the punishment for his iniquity, and to be more indignant at his own sin than at perhaps the suffering that will follow. And we see this pathway back to God is to do this, is to accept God's assessment of sin as our own assessment of sin. In other words, we see sin the way that God does, and we agree with God that this is repugnant, this is not good, this is not the way I want to go. The word that Jonah uses here in the text of verse number 4 to cast him forth is the same word that's used when the Lord sent forth the great wind of verse number 4. And so Jonah is asking these men just to take him and literally hurl him into the sea, to cast him into the sea. By the way, think of this. This most certainly would have been a death sentence for Jonah had God not intervened, to be cast into the middle of the sea. And so we can see from this the earnestness of this action that Jonah was advising these sailors to take. Repentance is characterized not only by asking for forgiveness, but by a willingness to accept judgment. And certainly Jonah being cast in the sea would result in death. Now I'm reminded from where we moved from back in Hampton, Virginia, there's a long bridge tunnel called the CBBT. In fact, it's interesting that I believe someone just recently, not too long ago, went off the side of the CBBT. It's a sad thing. And as I read an article about this from 2019, from before then, there were 16 occurrences of tractor trailers that are blown off the side of this long bridge that goes across the Chesapeake Bay. In fact, this bridge is super long, and it's dotted with a few tunnels as you go along, and literally you're out in the middle of the waters. There's nothing around. And in most cases, unfortunately, of the 16 tractor trailers that went overboard since 2019 before, only two survived. Of those two, most of the time, it wasn't because a rescue attempt wasn't made. It's because they're out in the middle of nowhere, and the time that it takes the workers to be able to get to where they are is entirely too long. Now, I want you to think of that in the context of Jonah here. In Jonah's case, there is no rescue scenario. And further, we understand this, that the waters are turbulent until it is that they cast him into the sea. And so not only do we see Jonah's repentance and his willingness to accept judgment, but secondly, I want you to see this silver lining in this dark cloud. We see not only his willingness to accept judgment, but a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus' sacrifice for us. You know, Jonah is willing to sacrifice himself for the lives of those in the ship. He says, cast me forth, cast me overboard, so shall the sea be calm unto you. It reminds me of the prophecy of Caiaphas, the high priest, and I'm amazed at the fact that God used him to prophesy. But he says this in John chapter 11, in verse number 50, that one should die for the sake of the people, the nation of Israel. The Bible says in verse 49, and one of them named Caiaphas, being a high priest in that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And surely he did he not? We understand that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for you and me. The Bible tells us in Matthew 20, 28, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Romans 5, 6 through 9 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely shall a righteous man, will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so once again, we see another connection in this text pointing us forward to the Lord Jesus Christ between Jonah and Jesus himself. But thirdly, I want you to see this, the admission of guilt given by Jonah is found in verse number 12. Notice in the second part, he says this, "For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you." Friends, if we're guilty of bringing others into trouble by our lack of faithfulness to God, let us not add sin unto sin by denying it, but let us accept full responsibility for what we've done. The right response that you and I should give in the midst of our guiltiness is first to agree with God concerning our sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 tells us this, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Additionally, our right response should be honesty and truthfulness with those who we've brought into calamity with us. And so contriteness and brokenness brings us to a place where God can help us, whereas pridefulness and denial do the exact opposite. It separates us from God. The Bible says in Psalm 34, 18, listen, "The Lord is nigh," that means close, "unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 51, 17 says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In Isaiah 57, verse 15, the Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also," listen, "that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." You know, the way up is the way down. The way up is the way down. The way to get restoration is the way of repentance. And friends, I'm just here to tell you that Jonah is beginning to exhibit this in his life by saying, "Just cast me into the sea. I know that this is for my cause that this has come about us." On September 13th, in the year 1858, there was a great steamship by the name of the Austria. It's pretty infamous, actually. And it was one that took immigrants over the United States of America from the European countries. And it was crowded with immigrants on this day, and it was burned far out at sea. In fact, only a few passengers survived and were saved out of the lot that were on this steamship Austria. There were some 449 souls that went down with that boat that day. Of these, some few that were saved afterwards were published reports from the individuals that were saved out of that burning ship of the terrible event. One thrilling narrative was from the pen of a young man. This young man had sunk very low in debauchery, frivolity, and the scorn of all higher things. And this is what he said of himself in recounting this. He says, "I do not understand the ways of the eternal, but I do know this, that I needed a terrible catastrophe to awaken me from my death-like sleep. Nothing less than such an awful event would have driven me from a path of ruin, and in the midst of all the frightful agony of the scene, an inward voice seemed to say to me this, 'This is all for your sake, that your soul may be dragged from destruction.'" We think about this, and friends, I'm just reminded of the awesome plan of God. It's beyond our comprehension. How often God moves in our lives, and how often it is that we fail to grasp and understand all of the ramifications of what God is doing. But this one thing we do know, God moves in our lives for his glory, and for our good. God always moves in our lives for His glory and for our good. Let us be reminded, particularly in times of calamity, but can I say, let us be reminded in the peaceful times as well. See, I don't fear oftentimes about the calamities of life because I know those are the places and the times where God brings me to the end of myself and brings me unto Himself. But I worry about those who are on the peaceful shores where the wind's blowing softly and we feel like we've obtained our purpose. And so I say to you, let us pay particular attention, not only in the times of calamity, but also especially in the times of peace. Not only do we have the cause of evil, the accusations, the answers, the alarm, the advice, but then we come to a new block, letter D, the casting forth. As we come down to this section in verses 13 through 17, I want you to pay attention to the first word of each verse. In verse 13, we have the word nevertheless. Nevertheless. In verse number 14, we have the word wherefore. In verse number 15, you'll see the word so. And then in verse number 16, you'll see the word then. These directional words are so important. The first one I want you to pay attention to is the word nevertheless. You'll notice in verse 13, this is a turning statement. Jonah's given it as advice. Jonah has said, listen, cast me into the sea. Cast me into the sea, for I know that from my cause this has come upon you. Just throw me in the sea. But yet we read in verse number 13, the word nevertheless, nevertheless. You see, the effort of these mariners put forth to save Jonah's life, I want you to think, first of all, was a strong rebuke to Jonah in his attitude towards Nineveh. You see, Jonah was to these sailors what Nineveh was to Israel. Jonah was supposed to be going to preach a message of repentance to them, but Jonah instead is a big problem for them and a threat to their very existence. Yet the mariners, in trying to save Jonah, put forth all the effort they could to row hard to land. But Jonah had not put forth any effort to save the Assyrian city of Nineveh. What a shame it is when the world demonstrates more care for people than God's people. I want you to think of these heathen mariners. They row hard to bring it to the land. And Jonah here is running away from his obligations to go to the city of Nineveh and preach a message of repentance. Why would these mariners not listen to Jonah? Well, there's a bit of irony in the text. Jonah, who would have that the Syrians be destroyed, is willing now to be thrown overboard for the mariners' sake. The mariners who value Jonah's life refuse at first to throw him overboard. We see the irony of the situation. The mariners rowed hard against the wind and tide, the wind of God's displeasure, the tide of His counsel, but it is vain to think of the saving of ourselves by any other way than destroying sins. Even natural conscience cannot but dread blood guiltiness. And when we're led by the providence of God, He does what He pleases. We ought to be satisfied, though it may not please us. Throwing Jonah into the sea will put an end to the storm. God will not afflict forever. He'll only contend till we submit and turn from our sins. Surely these heathen mariners will rise up in judgment against many called Christians who never offer prayers in distress or never offer thanksgiving for signal deliverances. So says Matthew Henry. And so these men here, there they are. Nevertheless, they're fighting against God. Reminded in the text in the book of Acts concerning this very subject, Gamaliel's testimony concerning what to do with Peter and the other apostles who refused to quit speaking about Jesus. Gamaliel, one of their own, stands up and says this, refrain from these men, let them alone. For if it is a counsel or the work of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. And friend, that's a vital lesson for you and I. Sometimes we need to just step back and take our hands off the wheel. You know, we want to correct the situation. We want to fix the problem. We want to take control. Gamaliel's advice is this: look, if this is of men, don't worry. It'll fall upon itself. But if it be of God, guess what? You cannot overthrow it. We find that though these mariners were acting against God, we would understand this, that they were certainly sincere in their desire to help Jonah. They acted on what they believed to be the right course. Without sails, because of the very strong storm, the mariners now resort to the oars and struggled with great effort to get the ship to land in spite of this storm. We certainly applaud their sincerity, don't we? We applaud their sincerity in wanting to save this man's life. But friends, can I say, not apart from the will of God. You know, the sailors were most sincere. Their efforts proved that without a doubt. But they were going contrary to the will of God. And no sincerity, no matter how great it is, will ever compensate for doing other than God's will. Rowing may look good, it may look noble, but if it's not according to God's way, it is the wrong way. Many today, by the way, are sincere in their beliefs. Many are sincere in their beliefs and their actions. The problem is that they're sincerely wrong. And friends, we see this nevertheless, but then notice this, the wherefore. Notice what it says there in verse 14. It says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, has done as it has pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Now, I don't know how they did it. I just imagine one had a hand and one had a leg, and they said, one, two, and whoof, there he goes. I don't know. I imagine in my mind's eye, perhaps that's the way it is. Well, maybe for this evening, you and I need to stop and recognize this. Are you in a wherefore moment of your life? Are you in a wherefore moment of your life? Maybe for you this evening, there's difficulties all around you that you're facing. The Bible says, wherefore we must cry unto the Lord. Wherefore? Wherefore we must cry unto the Lord. I can tell you from my own experience that though that's an uncomfortable place to be, can I tell you it's also a place of great spiritual increase in the life of the individual when you come to the end of yourself. You come to the place where you have nothing else, but you rely wholly upon the Lord and the Lord alone. These mariners were at wit's end, you might say. They got down to the end of it. They tried their own rowing hard to get to the land. They say, all right, we're going to say yes to the Lord. We're going to do what he wants us to do. And so the Bible says they cast them forth, and wherefore? They cried unto God. They cried unto the Lord. Maybe secondly tonight, maybe for you there's a sense of wrongdoing that you have, and you recognize some wrongdoing before God. Are you willing to accept his assessment of what's taking place in your life? Are you willing to accept what he says? I want to encourage you to come and speak to the Lord about that matter. Maybe it is perhaps that you realize that you've headed the wrong direction. Maybe it is that you need to come cry before the Lord because you realize that you've gone the wrong way. Maybe lastly, as we close tonight, there's someone that you know who's in the midst of a great calamity. Maybe it's not you. I believe all of us tonight can think of someone in our own lives that experienced great difficulty or is going through a time right now. They're dealing with some difficult things. Perhaps tonight you could come and intercede on their behalf. Pray for them. Pray that the Lord would open their eyes to truth. Pray that they'll find strength in the scriptures. Pray that they'll find peace with God. Pray that whatever God's desire is for their life will come to pass in his providence and it is His working in their life. And lastly, I pray it would not be so, but perhaps there's someone here tonight who's in a nevertheless moment. You say, Pastor James, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is simply this, is sometimes it is that we know what we're supposed to be doing. We know what the right thing to do is. In fact, we've been instructed. We know what the Word of God says. We know the direction we're supposed to be heading. But just like these mariners, just like many Christians, we say, nevertheless, even though I know this is the way you'd have me to go, nevertheless, I'm going to go the way I want to go. Friend, I'd invite you tonight to come to this altar and to stop fighting against God. Stop fighting. Don't have a nevertheless moment. Just go ahead and skip that part and go for the wherefore part and cry to God. Go ahead and go to the part where you say yes to the Lord. Don't hesitate for one moment to do what God wants you to do. Lastly, I'd say this, if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, can I tell you, if you're without Christ, that you're in the midst of a storm, you just don't know it? It's the storm of this life. It's the challenges of this life. And you're surrounded by sin. And friend, can I tell you that you can come to Christ and have all that dealt with tonight? You can repent of your sin and by faith trust in Him and Him alone for your soul's salvation. And I can tell you by personal experience, when you do that, when you turn from your own ways and you turn to the Lord's ways and you cry out to Jesus for salvation, can I tell you, you'll experience peace. You'll experience peace like you never experienced before ever in your entire life. You see, God will do something in your heart. You'll be born again by operation of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll be reconciled to God. Your life will be different. You'll be headed in a new direction. Like Jonah, you'll be on the path to service. And we'll see here in just a little bit as Jonah turns back to the Lord as he prays a wonderful prayer in the second chapter. We'll see that God uses him in a mighty way. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have this time of invitation in just a few moments, Father, maybe it is for someone tonight, this night, that they've been given some biblical advice, some biblical counsel, just like Jonah gave to the mariners. He told them exactly what to do. Father, perhaps there's somebody here this night that has a nevertheless moment in their life. They know what they should do, but they're going the direction of the way that they shouldn't go. Father, I pray, Lord, that they take the advice, the godly counsel, the thing that they know to be right. And Father, perhaps they come forward and say, Lord, I'm going to stop running. I'm going to stop going the wrong way, but I'm going to take the biblical way. And I'm going to take that advice. Well, Father, perhaps there's somebody here tonight who's in the midst of the storm, just like these mariners. And wherefore they need to cry unto you. Well, Father, you know all the situations of thy people that are here to this night. Father, you know all the ins and outs of their families and the things that are going on, the things that have not been said and the things that are kept to themselves. Father, you know everything that's going on in the lives of these dear people. Father, I pray if there's someone here in a wherefore moment, they would not be ashamed and they would not hesitate to come before you and to cry out to you and find the help that they need in their time of trouble. Well, Father, I pray also, perhaps tonight, there's somebody else here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, Father, I can't think of a better time than to be in the church house and hear the preaching of the Word of God than to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need to be saved. Father, I pray if there's someone here this night that's in that way. Well, Father, they wouldn't hesitate as soon as the invitation begins. Father, that they come down forward and allow us to take the Bible and share the gospel message with them. They can trust in Jesus Christ this day and experience peace in their heart, be headed a new direction, be headed the direction God wants them to go. Father, if there's one here that is that way, Father, I pray they'd be bold enough to get up out of their pew in just a minute and come forward. Father, would you work in our hearts and in our lives? And Father, I pray for thy Spirit reveal unto us what needs to be revealed. And Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We ask all these things In your son's name, amen. As you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed, as the pianist begins to play, no one looking around,